In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus must be like you in all things, yet remain like his Father in all things, that in all things he might redeem you by his blood. In the incarnation, he pulls everything human, body and soul, eyes, ears, and all our members, into God. Not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God. Thus it is truly meet, right, and salutary to say that God has a mother, to say that he sucked his thumb, learned his ABCs, ate, drank, lived, and died. And though he died, he is risen and ascended to pave the way for you into heaven. To confess Mary as the mother of God, then, is to actually confess Jesus to be exactly who he says he is, God come in flesh. To not do so is to deny the divinity of Christ. And if Mary gave birth to one less than God, then more is required of you. She's not the mother of the Father or of the Holy Spirit, nor of the Holy Trinity. But he who is the divine and eternal Word of the Father, the eternal Son of the Father, almighty and eternal God, almighty and eternal Word, he whom you just confessed to be God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. This one does indeed enter her womb to take on flesh. Jesus is God, and Mary is his true and real mother. So why do you get so anxious in talking about her? Why don't you love her as you should? Is it because she's dead? This is what dormition means. It means to fall asleep, the biblical term for the death of those who die in Christ. But don't you still love your dead grandmother, or your dead father, and all the other Christians who have preceded you out of this life and are with Christ? Is it because some have turned her into a faith-denying idol? But if you simply hate what someone else loves, then what about the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, and so on? How does rejecting that which is contrary to the Scripture and guarding against idolatry lead to the other side and saying less than the Scriptures do? That's also error. The issue ultimately isn't Mary. You like to use her as an excuse and as a cover, saying some have abused her, and because we don't do that, we'll ignore her. But you know full well that an abuse of something good and right does not nullify and abolish that thing which is good. Consider your own children. When they abuse your love through disobedience, how do you respond? With abandonment? By no means. Rather, you don't love the Blessed Virgin as you should because you don't love anyone as you should. Not even God. You love only yourself. Caring for an elderly relative is a burden done only out of obligation. Your love for God falters, and so your love for others fails. You don't love your neighbor as yourself because you don't love the Lord perfectly with fear and trust. Repent. To love your neighbor as you should is more than just the vacuous thoughts and prayers that's become popular as of late. To love the Lord is to love him in his saints. To serve the Lord is to serve him in his saints, regardless of who they might be. This is precisely the kind of love that Jesus had for his mother, entrusting her care to St. John, even from upon the cross. This is the kind of love Mary had for Elizabeth, her elder cousin, as she went to help her. And when Mary greeted her with her glorious Magnificat, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, when Elizabeth spoke, God was speaking through her. Blessed are you among women, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Why is it that the mother of my God, that's what she means when she says Lord, should come to me? For when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped in my womb for joy. Of course, John leapt for joy. He's the friend of the bridegroom, standing in the bridegroom's presence. Isaiah said, the lame shall leap as a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. John's joy, like yours, is the incarnate Word of God, whether in Mary's womb or upon the cross. He who brings the peace of forgiveness and salvation. Your heart leaps as a deer on the mountaintops because you too have been loosed and watered from the rock, loosed and watered by the precious blood of Christ flowing forth from Calvary. God, who loves you perfectly, fulfills the promise to Adam and to Abraham in the Son of Mary. Isaac gets off the altar that Jesus can get on it. Jesus is born in blood and water that he might bleed and die to make you clean. He is the one set for the rising and falling of many in Israel. His is the face Job prophesied he'd see. Jesus' feet bring the good news from God that they'll be pierced and bear those scars for your sake into eternity. His hands, whose touch brings health, turns water into wine and multiplies the loaves, shall also be bitten by the nail to deliver absolution. And deliver he does. For the Lord hath regarded the low estate of you, his church and precious bride. He is mighty enough to suffer and die on the holy cross to do these great things for you. He places his holy name upon you in the blood and water of his cross. Jesus remembers his mercy by putting down your old Adam from its seat, by being seated himself upon the throne of the crucifix. He was raised up between thieves to raise you up this day between John the Baptist and Mary. His veins were drained of their lifeblood that he might fill you, his hungry brothers and sisters, with the good things of God's body and blood. The Lord himself regarded Mary, regarded her like he regarded Abel's offering rather than Cain's, like he regarded Noah and his family, 8 souls in all, like he regarded barren Sarah, causing her desert womb to sprout a flowering Isaac. The Lord has looked on the humble estate of his servant to bring forth life for the world. That's why she is called blessed. She's the lowly raised up, the humble exalted, the weak made strong, the virgin given to bear life. She is the mother of God, though now at rest, brought to the nearer presence of God her Savior by the virtue of God her Son's body and blood. In this, the holy angels rejoice and praise him. But then again, so it is for the whole church of God. Adopted as the sons and heirs of God in Christ by virtue of your baptism, you are the bride of Christ who hears the word and bears it forth to the world. You sing Jesus' praises, having received from him every good gift. And when your days in this life are finished, you too shall fall asleep in Jesus' name and be brought body and soul to the rest he has prepared for you in himself, as the angels rejoice. So don't be afraid or uneasy about Mary. Don't be afraid to call her blessed. The Bible does. Don't be afraid to call her the Mother of God. Jesus is God. Follow rather her example and learn from her how to sing, how to pray, and how to love your neighbor. For the Son she bore is put into you. You are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit as his body and blood are placed inside of you. You, by grace, are now sons and daughters of the King, royal ambassadors in a world gone mad, men and women blessed by grace in faith to know Jesus the crucified lives. And he lives for you. You have a Savior. Magnify him and leap for joy at the gospel. Your sins are forgiven. Blessed is the Lord Jesus, the man in whom all the fullness of deity dwells, your Lord and your life. Blessed are you that your Lord, your God, should come to you this day, bringing his rest for you in his body and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.